Karen Mooney, a relationship expert, agony aunt. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Nikki. Thank you for having me on.
And likewise, Ella Welsby, family divorce lawyer. Hello, Ella. And I know that both of you are quite happy, if anyone wants to talk about this, to talk about it with them. Karen, did I cover the waterfront there? Or is there, you know, because there are, as I say, Karen, infidelity comes in many forms, doesn't it?
Of course it does. And there are many reasons for infidelity too. It could be loneliness. It could be, you know, whatever. But it does come in many forms, definitely, as you rightly pointed out before.
Yes, it comes in many forms, and it could be the result of being in a dreadful relationship and looking for a little bit of sunshine. Or it could just be somebody wanting to have their cake and eat it, Karen.
Of course it can be. I mean, you know, a lot of people are locked in awful relationships, I think, particularly in the past where, you know, you were taught, you know, if once you got married, that was it. You know, often you would have an affair then. But, you know, it depends on how deeply you're in love with that person as well, how meaningful your relationship is with your partner. The circumstances surrounding the affair, really.
We spoke about falling in love at first sight not so long ago, actually. It was a time when Matt Hancock was in the jungle, and he said, he said that it was, I think, love at first sight. I think I'm right in saying he said that, but that was our springboard for doing a discussion of, can you fall in love immediately at first sight? Is there such a thing? And I suppose that can happen if you're in a bad relationship and you see somebody else, and as I say, it's a ray of sunshine. Do you believe you can fall head over heels uncontrollably?
You know, certainly in my business, I've been running Sarah Eden for 35 years, but hear all sorts of stories. And I think you can, but I think you actually need to get to know that person, because love at first sight is generally attraction. You're attracted to somebody. You find them you know, sexually attracted to you. But you need to get to know that person, because they might look good, they might be easy on the eye, but it all depends on what's underneath, what that person's like. Because if you're going to have an affair with somebody and, you know, and maybe spend the rest of your life with that person, they can't just be looks. You have to grow old together. There has to be a bit of, you have to share a sense of humour.
That's right, that's right. It's the Captain Corelli mandolin famous passage about the different types of love and the trees' roots growing deeper and deeper and intertwining with each other. It's that, isn't it? And also, you know, when the first flush of love with the butterflies going crazy in your tummy, when that's over, when that's finished, you think, oh my goodness me, why did I do this in the first place? I'll be with Sue in Richmond in just a second. Thank you very much indeed, Sue. I'll be right with you. But Ella Welsby, it's no longer a case of, the law is no longer judgmental about this, is it, Ella, family divorce lawyer?
That's right, Nikki. We've got rid of giving a reason as to why you're getting divorced. And for some people, that is the most frustrating thing. If you've been wronged and you've been betrayed, you don't have the opportunity to tell the court anymore. So some people have found that really, really difficult. Yes, it's a great thing in terms of, we don't have the same difficulty with regard to setting divorce off on the wrong foot. A lot of people have children, but it has been difficult for those people who feel that they don't have the opportunity to convey how hurt they feel.
You must have to deal with a lot of stuff here. I mean, it must exhaust you, and it must drain you.
It can do. I mean, you see the worst of human nature, but this job is such a privilege. You see the best in people as well. People have gone through the most horrific things and they've come out the other side and they've moved forward. But this is a really interesting emotive debate, because I work with a lot of clients who, somebody has an affair, they feel that they have to get divorced. They don't want to let the kind of self-respect down. Their ego comes into play sometimes as well. But actually, they come to the end of the process, and I've had so many people turn to me at the end and say, actually, I wish I'd forgiven them, because I thought I had to do this. I thought this was going to be the best thing for me. And actually, it hasn't resolved all the issues.
But you can't wish you forgive somebody. You either do forgive them or not. You can't say, oh, I forgive you.
That's very true. And having said that, I've worked with people who got divorced They've been the one that had the affair, and they thought that this new relationship would completely revive them. They'd be a different person. They've seen that sunshine. They thought they were kind of, oh, actually, this is the fairy tale. And that has then broken down in a similar way, because maybe they enjoy kind of the intrigue or keeping something from someone. They love having a secret. So there are so many factors at play here. It's such a tricky topic.
It's such a tricky topic, and Sue's coming on and Dave's coming on in a second, and I can't thank them enough for talking about it with us. Can a relationship survive an affair? It's 10:20. Some news just in. The UK and the Republic of Ireland will now bid unopposed for Euro 2028. Turkey has withdrawn to focus on a joint bid with Italy for Euro 2032. Now, this has to be ratified by UEFA at a meeting of its executive committee on Tuesday. But that looks like Euro 28 is coming to the UK and the Republic of Ireland. Does this mean that we, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, England, Republican Ireland, qualify by rights? I wonder. Anyway, a bit more detail. 10 grounds included in the bid, including Hampden Park, Cardiff's Principality Stadium, Dublin's Aviva Stadium, Wembley in London, great stadia, Belfast's Casement Park, Everton's Bramley Moor Dock, two unbuilt stadiums also included in the bid. Simon Stone, our football correspondent, is with us. This is exciting, Simon, isn't it? Or is it? I think it is.
Well, no, it is exciting, yes, because yeah. Obviously we had the final and some pretty big games at the last European Championships played in the United Kingdom. Obviously, the final was played at Wembley, but this is a UK and Ireland bid, as you've said. There's representation from all four home nations and the Republic of Ireland as well, so it is based here. There's still some kind of political box ticking that needs to take place to absolutely confirm it. But as UEFA don't have an alternative unless they open the bid out again to other nations, which is not going to happen. Yes, in Euro 2028 will be held in the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland.
So does Scotland qualify automatically? I'm asking for a friend.
Well, this is all still to be decided, and I think I get the sense that the way that the qualification will be done, there might be an option for a team that doesn't qualify to get in, but there's various machinations around that, including Nations League and also the actual qualifiers. So I think that's still to be worked on by UEFA. That will have
host,
to be announced.
But the host gets in without having to go through the qualification process. Am I right or am I right?
Well, that would normally be the case, certainly the case for Germany, the next European Championships. But obviously with five hosts, that takes up quite a large percentage of the 24 qualification spots. So I don't think it's quite as simple as it normally would be.
We can but ask. Interesting. It's terrific. I mean, we've got terrific stadia in this country. It's going to be very exciting. It's not so far away either, Euro 2028. Just finally, big talking point for the day, beyond HS2. Just finally, though, Turkey have withdrawn to focus on a bid with Italy for Euro 2032. It's an expensive business, all this, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think one of the advantages, clearly, I'm just looking down the list of stadiums that will be used in Euro 2028. And obviously the Everton one is still to be completed, but it's well on the way. But all these stadiums are state-of-the-art, effectively, and at top stadiums, but for countries starting from scratch, Qatar is an obvious example. It costs a lot of money, and there is an environmental factor in there as well. So that helps when it comes to staging major events, major games in the United Kingdom and obviously the Republic of Ireland. That is an advantage. How Turkey and Italy will work around that, it remains to be seen. They've obviously, Italy in particular, have got a massive issue at the moment with the San Siro Stadium, a magnificent stadium, but maybe for the two clubs who play there, not exactly what they want in terms of state-of-the-art facilities. And it costs money to rebuild these stadiums.
Thank you very much. Beautifully done, Simon Stone, as ever. It's 10:25. Back to our conversation on affairs in just 1 second, but some news just in. This from Northumbria Police. A 44-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of murder after a man was fatally injured by a dog in Sunderland. Happened yesterday evening in Shiny Road. The police say emergency services attended the scene and the man, aged 54, was taken to hospital with serious life-threatening injuries. Despite the best efforts of medical staff, he sadly passed away last night. The dog was destroyed at the scene. Police statement goes on to say, while further assessment will be carried out, officers believe the dog to be an XL bully breed. Second dog, also believed to be an XL bully breed, was also seized as a precaution. Very sad news. It's 10:26. I want to thank you, Sue, for waiting on us.
No problem.
You're going to tell us about 25 years ago, 25 long years or short years. What happened?
A lifetime.
A lifetime. Yeah, it's a long time, isn't it? Take us back.
Okay. What would you like to know?
Well, we're talking about affairs. Did you have an affair? Did your partner have an affair? Did your relationship survive the affair?
I was the one who had an affair. I probably had been married for quite many years, and the marriage wasn't working. I was feeling very lonely, very isolated, unloved, unimportant, taken for granted. And then this man popped up at one of my business networks, and we clicked. And the thing that attracted me was that he actually seemed to like me. Not just fancy me, but to actually like me. He listened to me, made me feel that I had things worth saying. Something that I hadn't felt for a very, very long time in my marriage. Just to make it clear that partly it had to do with my husband suffering from Asperger's, which meant that he had no social skills, no empathy, had difficulty connecting and understanding and putting themselves into another person's shoes. I had no idea that that was the case, but I discovered it afterward. But at the time, it felt very personal. It was personal. So I had an affair, yes.
But it's so interesting what you say, and I think it will be a common experience. You were in a relationship that wasn't working, and then you met somebody and they made you feel good. They made you feel special and they gave you some self-worth.
That was the case, yes.
And yeah. Listen, Sue, I'm going to put that to Karen. That is so much the case for so many people, isn't it? All of a sudden, you don't feel so bad about yourself.
Exactly. We all need to be loved. We all need to be, feel that you're worthy, and somebody really cares about you. And I think it's important. I hear this all the time in my business at Sarah Eden, that if people feel they're not appreciated, then it's very, very easy, if somebody shows you attention, to respond to that attention, because everybody needs to be needed. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be cherished. So I completely understand why Susan had the affair. And of course, years ago, nobody really knew about Asperger's. It didn't have a name, did it? So you probably would have just felt that you weren't,
That's kind of irrelevant. It can happen with anyone at any time for any reason. All of a sudden, there's somebody who likes you, And so, Sue, how did it work out?
It was something. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the lady's name, the expert.
Karen.
But you said something really. Sorry.
Karen.
You said something really important, Karen, earlier on about if you're going to have an affair, you want to get to know the person, find out if you belong together, essentially. But that wasn't my motivation at the time. And there were consequences to that, which is why the relationship didn't last very long, which was outside of bed, we had very little to say to one another once the obvious subjects were exhausted. We had some great conversations, but after a while, we ran out of things to say to each other, which is why the relationship then fizzled out.
So out of bed, it sort of fizzled away, which just shows you how that aspect of the relationship is so important. You know, the bed, if you put it like that, if I may put it like that, is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go very far if you're not getting on with each other.
Let me tell you something that I've learned, because now I am deliriously happily married, which is lovemaking starts outside of the bedroom. Which means if the relationship outside of the bedroom isn't working, then the sex isn't going to be particularly good.
So the relationship works outside the bedroom, which means that the sex is good. That follows on. Yeah.
It follows from your relationship beyond the. And I also think that there is a huge difference between sex and lovemaking.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Thanks, Karen.
Yes. No, I completely agree. I completely agree. You know, sex is one thing, but you have to feel emotionally, you have to feel emotionally appreciated. And that's where lovemaking comes in. So, yeah, absolutely right. And I'm so pleased to hear that you've finally found love.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. And the difference between sex and lovemaking, can you put it in a nutshell, if that's an appropriate receptacle? Sue, can you...
Yes, I can. Sometimes, my current husband and I first met, we were both 70, and we've been together for about 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the best relationship ever. It taught me all about love. And to answer your question, that age, health issues, means that we are not always physically functional.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the love comes in. We spend so much time holding, touching, cuddling, whispering. It's what people used to call foreplay.
It's so lovely to hear that you've finally found love. It really is. It just shows you're never too old to find love. And I think just touching somebody is important. Just showing them that you actually care. Just a little tap on your hand or, a hand on the shoulder is so important. And you sound lovely.
Oh yes, very much.
I love the fact that foreplay, you know, continues through the years because one is
It has to.
Yeah. One is not quite as physically functional as one used to be. That's right. But it just shows you that sex is not the be-all and end-all. It's just, you know, skin on skin and touching and cuddling and being with somebody. And that's all important, Sue, isn't it?
You sound like you know what you're talking about as well.
I'm a relationship expert. Karen Mooney. Been around the block. Carry on.
I just think that being in love and, you know, loving relationships change with age, don't they? You know?
Yeah.
You exactly. I mean, certainly. And I think also people now, since the pandemic, certainly, our age range at Sarah Eden has gone right up. Our oldest members now is in the 90s, which I think is lovely. Because people think about life and think about what's important. And living your life and being happy... It's really important.
You'll know this. Do people still have sex in their 90s?
As far as I know, in the 80s they do.
In the 80s? Right. Higher. Go on.
Yes. I don't know. I haven't asked our oldest member, but one of the gentlemen in his 80s I know definitely does. There's something called Viagra you can take now, isn't there?
I think I do. No, not take that. Sue, what a wonderful, wonderful call. What a great contribution you've made. You kind of made my day. That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm delighted to hear that. Absolutely delighted.
And
lovely story, Sue.
Such a lovely story.
Thank
you. Phone us at any time. At any time, whether it be, you know, HS2 or I Love You. You're always welcome, Sue. Thank you very much indeed.
I'll pick you up on it.
Yeah, please. Please. Ella Welsby, family divorce lawyer. Isn't that wonderful? What a story.
That's so heartwarming. That has made my day too, Nikki. We hear such terrible things. I can be such a cynical person, but wow, we've got so much to look forward to. The lost art of foreplay. We're still there in our 90s. This is wonderful news.
When I got up this morning, I didn't know I would be doing a phone-in on foreplay, but there we are.
Like what?
You know,
every story.
In my job, every day is a surprise. Thank you very much indeed.
It's lust at first sight, isn't it? We fill in the blanks. There's that meme, a crush is just a lack of information. You fill in what you want about that person and you think they're going to understand you fully. But it's just that physical attraction at first. So we need to get past that notion of love at first sight, not to be a passion killer, but we need to think of the reality of the situation. And the bedroom is just a small part. It's a really important part, sure, but it is a part of a relationship. It's not the be-all and end-all.
There's also the sofa downstairs. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Comment.
I've got more to ask everybody. Thank you, Sue, one more time. Lots of love to you. It's 10:36.